perspective, and I've entitled it Our Origins and the Original Vision. The National Federation of Asian United Methodists reflect the ethnic struggles that were on the university campuses in the late 1960s. And they reflect the original drive and vision. The movement expressed hurts and hopes in our communities and the United Methodist Church at home and abroad. Have-nots have reasons for their efforts, but for a good part of the Asian American movement, I would say, especially if we were born here, if you had been had, was a major drive that was behind the effort. The Japanese Americans started to get organized about 1968, and the Western jurisdiction Asian Americans gathered in 1972 in Santa Monica, and then the National Federation organized in 1975 in Chicago. Now, I have outlined the efforts, and I want to say the impressive responses of our United Methodist Church. And I put in bold "our" because let's remember we are a part of the United Methodist Church and we can't talk about them. We are with the church. And the details will follow that illustrate my point. And I would like to think that this outline may be useful as we probably will be talking tomorrow about some of our efforts in the future. Now, there's a whole string of points here, so let's just run down, and then I'll give more of the details. I break it down into two different fronts. One has to do with our identities, and the other are institutions and ministries. Under our identities, number one, we decided to reject integration strategy and the melting pot theory. And number two, to affirm our distinct and evolving identities. Three, to recover our buried history. Four, clarify challenges to our captivity in the lower category. Five, train future leaders. Those I've clustered under identities. And under our institutions and ministries, number one, to establish new partners. And two, join others in the missional priority. Three, place representatives as members and staff in the United Methodist structures. Four, contribute our unique gifts. Five, promote the Free South movement. And six, create and strengthen our organizations and communities. I'd like to elaborate briefly and periodically stray from the text and show you some of the slides that will illustrate what I have in mind. On page two, concerning our identities, first is to reject the integration strategies in the melting pot theory. As reflected in integrating Chinese, Korean, Filipino, and Japanese in provisional conferences into the existing annual conferences. Integration actually posed a disappearing act. The Hispanics are particularly vocal on this point. When they were integrated, they just really disappeared in many points, except the Rio Grande Conference. Structurally, they remain, and as a result, they continued their ministry. Well, number two, the story about the melting pot theory we used to frequently tell is sort of like the zoologist who graduated from Stanford and wanted to outdo all the others at Cal Berkeley. And so he proposed a new experiment. He was going to cross abalone and a crocodile. And he was going to produce an abalone. Well, after months and months of failure and humiliation, he finally posted a note, come to room 10 and I will show you the results. And so his colleagues gathered together in in room 10, and when they opened up the container, they found that it was a crock of bologna. And many of us felt that the melting pot theory was really duplicitous, because it says, come on in and bring your contribution. What it really meant was, just blend in and disappear. We refused to be like them, quote, so that they would like us. Now, number two, affirm our distinct and evolving identities. We move beyond becoming bananas. This is all movement lingo. So I put it in the quotation. We move beyond becoming bananas, that is, yellow outside trying to be white inside. And to our national identities, we added an Asian American identity in an ecstatic moment. It's miraculous. The reason I say that is I, as a Japanese American, knew how difficult it must be for Chinese, for Koreans, for Filipinos to be working with Japanese Americans. I will have a picture of Arturo Capulli, who once during a break of the National Federation pulled me aside and said, you know, Roy, every Filipino in there has lost an immediate family member to the Japanese colonial army. And yet here we were, meeting together. That moment was ecstatic, that we developed an Asian American identity beyond our national ancestry identities. And we are seeing something like that in Southeast Asian immigrant people as well. Well, the General Board of Discipleship, General Board of Higher Education Ministry, supported our pilgrimage with resources and/or stage events for women and children. Women and men, children and youth. Oh, that was it, I hope. Number three, recover our buried history under the, quote, standard histories of the United States. The story is told about Chinese who in Carson City were in the mines and they could not build their own buildings that reminded them of their homeland. And so what they did was actually build chapels in the mines, and they discovered them. And so the ethnic movement was coming out of the buried past and letting our identities be known and discovered. And for this, let me just share with you a few illustrations. I want you people to know I have this little device that I can do this. So, Mark, I'm not that ancient.
I didn't say you were, I said the equipment was.
Okay. Well, Angel Island is a symbol for Chinese immigrants. That's our Ellis Island in the West Coast. And we want to make that a national park. And we decided to protest some of the stereotypes. I don't think there was a single Chinese Charlie Chan in the movies. And some of our histories that we were dug up had to do with transportation across the continent. And we faced a barrier in the Sierras. And so we had to come over this pass. And it was the Chinese who dug the tunnels for the railroads to connect up. And it was a very hazardous work. They built in these snow tunnels as well, and huge bridges. And then the link was finally linked. Turn briefly for the Japanese history that some of you know, but it may be buried history for some. That was the announcement telling Japanese that they were supposed to gather at assembly points and be taken to their concentration camps. Here's a model. No, this is the actual, one of the ones that they brought back, I think from Tule Lake, was it? Little fenced in. This is a picture of Heart Mountain in Wyoming. And I put this up here because this society is not going to distinguish us Asian Americans. And it was understandable that a Chinese grocery store, Wong, would say, "I am an American," meaning I'm not Japanese, so lay off. And Chinese had reason to do it, because as late as the 80s, there was a Vincent Ching who was killed with a baseball bat when Detroit auto workers felt threatened by Japan, and so they had to retaliate one way or another. Well, the fourth is to clarify challenges to our captivity in the lower category in the church and in a racist society and in international relations. Just on international relations, my family was spread from Siberia to Pennsylvania during the war. I recently picked up a book on the archipelago, a Pulitzer Prize winner in 2004, and I looked up, did they record any stories of Japanese and Koreans? Because they were captured. 600,000 Japanese were captured. And it only was covered in two lines. It's a buried history. We are under the categories of international relations. Well, clergy and laity shared their passions at church gatherings and at denominational publications, and from GCOM, the UMCOM, Abington, and the Women's Division, and others have responded. The way I'm playing up to you boards and agency people, you probably think I have an application for a funding grant to give you. But I want us to remember the responsiveness of our church. This is only a partial listing. Number five, train future leaders in colleges, universities, and seminaries. Hence, we created scholarships. For example, the HANA Scholarship for Hispanic, Asians, Native American, which the General Church supports with $400,000 annually, while continuing support for our black colleges. Efforts change seminary leaders, faculty, and curriculum. General Board of Higher Education and Ministry launched Asian American Study Centers in United Methodist Seminaries. Now, let me just catch up with a few of these slides. That was a picture of a seminary graduation where the Northern California group staged a protest because a very able Chinese American was passed up for being a president. And during one of the commencements, some Asian Americans were rude enough to disrupt the commencement. And we started to work more with Pacific Islanders. The person probably who really got us going was Keola. Anyway, we knew him as Cliff Alika, but he really got us going with the Pacific Island focus. This is us getting together as a federation. So I turn now to B, institution and ministries. We establish new partners in church as well as in community. Efforts resulted in Pan-Asian Western Jurisdiction Coordinating Committee, National Federation of Asian American United Methodists, Asian American Pacific Island Caucuses, and Asian really started to include Southeast Asians and South Asians. So I forgot how many languages there are now within the Asian United Methodists. But the General Board of Global Ministries, the General Commission on Religion and Race, help create community organizations. You'll be interested to know that a legal aid center in the Bay Area used to operate with their offices out of their cars, and they would have their files in their trunks. The General Board of, General Commission on Religion and Race gave them $5,000. And today they are training third generation attorneys and continuing to extend. And if you look at I would expect every major legal aid society in metropolitan U.S., it was founded by United Methodists.
That's right.
Just like Wright Edelman was started with United Methodist Women's Fund, $20,000. I mean, United Methodism has been responsive to the aspirations of people of color. Well, lingering impact of the 1967 legislation has promoted national ancestry group identity. Meanwhile, our children and youth are interacting and intermarrying beyond national ancestries with other Asian Americans and beyond those groups. So the original vision of an Asian American identity and organization makes sense today. A pan-Asian American group like the Federation can promote mutual support across national ancestry lines, as we did for Koreans, Filipinos, and Formosan Americans in their struggles for human rights. We are doing so currently amidst the tyranny in the Philippines, Cambodia, Vietnam, Myanmar, and threats to security in Taiwan, which affect their people living in the United States. Now, I'm not claiming the Federation was directly involved, but it was out of this kind of ethos that I would say church people from our congregations started to work across national ancestry lines. I believe here is a few more. This is the Federation getting started. You'll begin to think Lloyd Walker is the star of this show. He is, folks. Jonah Chang was once our National Federation Director and got us into the Taiwan struggles in 1980. United Methodism is the only denomination that has stood for independence and security of Taiwan since that time. And this is Jiro, once a missionary to Mexico, from Japan, a missionary to Mexico, then in the Hawaii then mission, and then became a member of the Board of Global Ministry staff. Tony Ubaldi, who helped represent us in many, many events, and Quentin. Yeah, this is Quentin Kim and his family at the Northern California gathering of Asian Americans. And as Asians always gather, now here's some more collaborative efforts. This is I mentioned the human rights struggles. There at the embassy in San Francisco, we joined others. And this was very definitely a National Federation event. Sign reading, "Down with the Dictator." This was 70s, early 70s. We marched. And we made petitions for Ken Chi Ha, a Roman Catholic. I think he was a priest, a poet, artist who was in prison. The reason why we had to work for each other is that if you were a U.S. citizen, you had citizenship protection. If you were an immigrant, there was a hazard of retaliation for your relatives back home. This dramatically states for us what a Korean American living in the U.S. had to do in order to join us in demonstrations at the San Francisco embassy. There were a few who joined without hiding their identity. Elaine Kim, University of California professor. And I may have been born here. And here's a pastor, once a military officer in Korea, became pastor of our San Francisco church, Wong Tae Chop. And the spouse of Charles Song, who introduced us to the human rights struggles increase. Oh, and here's the star again.
What an embarrassment.
Lloyd. And look at Jonah Chang. And here is a typical person we try to support. He was a lay pastor in the Methodist Church of Korea. Chung Yeol-hyun. And got his doctorate from Drew in the 30s. Went back and joined the struggle for independence. Was imprisoned in Kyoto, tortured, and yet he treated me like a son when I first met him. I can't go through all the details, but so I came back and had the Board of Global Ministries help us get an honorary doctorate for him and for Lee Tae-young, who is a national leader, now deceased. First, I think, woman attorney. First judge too, but anyway, she was on the international, one of the judicial councils, one of the councils of international courts, I forgot what it was called. And Lee Tae-young was the campaign manager for Kim Chi-han one time, so we had dinner with him. Here are some of our helpers. Who's a Filipino? Juan Echeta, yes. It was quite an inclusive group that went to Korea. Taiwanese, a Korean-American, myself, a Filipino-American, and Lloyd Wake. You were in that delegation, weren't you?
Yeah.
Lloyd? Right. And here we are joining the struggle for human rights against Marcos. This is a picture of a court scene. Someplace in my files, I have a picture of Lloyd sitting there in court because he's on trial. He and his son were arrested. His son served time in jail, and Lloyd happened to serve time in community service as a pastor at Oak Glide. But let's remember what some of our folks did for other national ancestry people. And here is Arturo Capulli, who I said shared with me that there was not a single person in that room who didn't have a relative who had been killed. And he himself, by the way, had been killed. He was forced to stand there as an 8-year-old while they killed his father, who was among the couriers who helped the resistance movement against Japanese occupation. Well, I think I'm going well beyond my time, so I'll just skip some of this and bring it, try to draw it to a close as fast as I can. But we joined other people in the missional priority. African, Hispanic, Native Americans, along with white supporters, for 3 quadrennia, 76 to 88, to raise 2 million, 20 million, 20 million, yes, per quadrennia. And Don Hayashi here was one of the staff in those days, and John Coleman's father was one of the staffs who participated. We sought to build and strengthen our strategic base for mission in the local church. All the United Methodist boards and agencies joined in the priority. And yet, to many in the U.S. and the UMC, they see us as nuisance or problems and wish we would become invisible. Struggles remain for us, for all racial ethnic minority, to create and build up our local church. And this last part of the sentence for me is very crucial. Why we promoted the ethnic minority local church. They are our most enduring organizations. Our best trainer for leaders in church and society. The most widely supported, and the only institution which nurtures and guides us across the full range of our needs, whether it's housing, employment, education, you name it, from cradle to grave. Now, you want to know why we are so anxious to train leaders for these churches? I mean, these churches, and why these churches exist? There's the reason. Our racial, ethnic, minority churches are really one of the most important institutions, I believe, in this society. We also wanted to contribute our unique gifts, and we really had a responsive denomination, and we tried to promote the three self movement: self-propagation, self-governance, and self-support. On this last point of self-support, on this last point of in this part, I really want to make a point, and I've been saying this to students in my classes in United Methodist polity. When a lot of United Methodist clergy say, "Let us offer our offering," they do not put an offering in the plate. I've noticed that in my two areas of appointment, in the Denver area and the Los Angeles area. And I send out a guide how to host your bishop, and I'd ask them, please make sure the offering plate comes by us. I don't think they bother reading those things anyway. Yeah. So now, it's sort of like this. Let's say a clergy says, "Let us pray." And the congregation starts to talk to each other. Now, that is as scandalous, I feel. If you're going to say, "Let us offer our gifts to God," I think clergy ought to too. Now, I don't know how many of you clergy don't, but anyway, this has been a passion, because when we become ordained in the UMC, it is hazardous to our spiritual health, especially at the point of stewardship. And this is one way I used to tell our students, let's get with it and join our congregations. Well, and you're going to hear later from Lloyd about the endowment fund. At one point, we wanted to raise it to $5 million, but we're pretty far along than I thought we were. And finally, create and strengthen our organizations and communities. And as a result, United Methodists were among those in the San Francisco area who tried to protect the International Hotel for aging Filipino bachelors, as well as Japantown in general and the YWCA in particular. And I list here the way the GBGM and others have helped. Well, thank you for your time, and I just offer the prayer, dear God, raise us from living with privilege to caring and courageous witness, faithful and sacrificial service. That's my prayer.